video Nom Noms. Vid Nasties if you're nasty. Hello and welcome to another episode of Video Nasties. My name is Maxwell Haddad. Thank you for listening. Today's episode is about... Actually, I don't know what it's about. Possibly about the swinging cheerleaders. I will try and find something to watch tonight. Probably something different, because I think I have watched this movie already, featuring Colleen Camp, directed by Jack Hill. I will watch it at some point, or rewatch it, but tonight, I don't know. I'm feeling something a little different, a little more action, a little more violence. I don't know. Something a little crazier. Even though that could be a pretty crazy movie. I cleaned out my bowl, smoking on some dank, lights out weed. It's 7:42 p.m. Monday, January 24th, 2022. Saturday for me. Saturday night. Saturday night's all right for fighting. And, yeah, I read for a while this afternoon. I read the last chapter of, I guess, like the middle portion of the book I'm reading, which is Leave Society by Tao Lin. The chapter is called Variations, and the next chapter that I'm on to is Year of Unknown, I think it's called. And in this chapter, he forms a romantic relationship with one of his neighbors, and the main character does. And yeah, it's poignant. I've been finding the book quite poignant. Especially as it goes on. I'm past page 280 now, so I'm into the last approximately 50 to 100 pages, I'm assuming. And here is a quote, one of my favorite quotes, possibly my favorite quote from everything I read today, which was many pages. It was possibly the longest chapter in the whole book so far. It just kept going. So here it is. This is from Leave Society by Tao Lin. The chapter is called Variations. Quote, he was becoming gradually less autistic over years through nutrition, detoxification, practice, and cannabis. So that's on Lee, the main character, and that's from, I'm assuming, I guess, the second to last part of the book, which is Year of Something, not Year of Pain, Year of Mountains, maybe, I forget. And I'm assuming this next part, Year of Unknown, is the last part, or Year of the Unknown. I think it's just Year of Unknown. Okay, so that's pretty much all I wanted to say about that. I think that's it for now. Peace. Another thing I wanted to mention was I did clean out my bowl. It's the cleanest it's been in a while since it got, like, really... first got, like, really dirty, I guess. And, yeah, it's nice and clear and clean and under control. And it's really potent. It's really hitting strong. So I'm really high right now. And I want to find something cool to watch. So that's pretty much all I wanted to say. That's pretty much all I wanted to add. I will be back on tomorrow to talk to you some more. And tomorrow is cleaning day. I do have to vacuum. I did laundry today. I have to do some more laundry tomorrow. I have to wash my sheets. And, yeah, I'll shower tomorrow. And then shave the day after. And then I get paid on Friday. And that's the story with me so far. I really want to try to open a savings account, but I have to talk to my mom about it, and I don't want to bring it up because I don't want to get into... talk about rent because she hasn't brought that up. And I don't want to bring that up. I'm talking low because I'm out on the porch. I'm hoping she doesn't ask me to pay rent this month because I have been laid off. And I will be making less from unemployment. But I won't go too much into that because that's personal stuff and nobody gives a shit anyway. So I'm Max Sherry. This is Video Nom Noms. Thank you for listening. Like I said, I'll be back on tomorrow to chat to you some more. I'll talk to you about what I watched. Oh, the other thing I wanted to mention, I hear coyotes or something howling outside, so I'm going to stay on the porch while I smoke because it's making me nervous. I was out there smoking, and I just heard it, like, this chorus. I don't know if it's because it's warming up. They're, like, getting frisky. I don't know what's going on. Sometimes I hear them out there. I don't know if they're wildcats or fisher cats or coyotes. I'm just kidding about the wildcats. I don't think there are any wildcats on Cape Cod, but there are fisher cats, but I don't think they make this sound. There are coyotes, and that's what I think these are. But they sound like damn hyenas. Like they have these high-pitched howls. I guess it's when they catch something, when they have a kill, they start howling at the moon or something. Or maybe they just do it sometimes. I don't know. I heard that it was when they got a kill. Anyway, it sent chills down my spine, and I'm staying inside for now, and I'm making sure the cat is inside, and very inside, not even on the porch, nowhere near the doors. So that's it for me. Thank you for listening. I'll be back on tomorrow. This is Video Nasties. Peace. As the quote, to go back to the night of the hunter, look at the scene where Robert Mitchum is standing out by the light post, and the kids are in their bedroom. The graphic of the mountains behind them is so simple. It makes no pretense about being artifice. That's where we wanted to get to with this movie, to have no pretense about the artifice of it. For me, it was about reducing the imagery to its simplest form, to the point of near-complete abstraction, BD. We also talked a lot about haikus, where three phrases describe the whole world. We took everything right back to basics. What is a room? A room is four walls. How many windows does it have? One. No windows? A corridor is a corridor. It's just that. When it came to blocking the actors, we thought a lot about creating rhythm with light. For example, when Macbeth delivers his quote, "Is this a dagger which I see before me?" Soliloquy. The rhythm of the light and shadow supports his movement and his words. It's like music, in a sense. MZ. I've worked with Fran before, so I knew what worked on her. There were some processes of elimination, but we came up with this shape that we thought would work on her. We did something similar with Denzel, creating an inverted triangle shape to give him broad shoulders and a nipped waist. For the shape of Fran's cape, Elsa Schiaparelli was someone I looked at. We wanted something that felt timeless and looked good in silhouette. JC, quote, "Editing the original text was an interesting process. I wanted the language to be there. I didn't want to dumb the play down, but in all of Shakespeare, there's this beautiful poetry, and then there's a lot of embroidery in the poetry. Sometimes the embroidery is the most beautiful thing, but modern audiences who aren't used to listening to Shakespeare can get lost trying to decipher archaic parts of the language. So that's pretty much what went out. I wanted to make the movie not just for people who knew the play well, but for people who'd never seen a Shakespeare play. Period." Hey, it's me, Max Cherry, and you're listening to Video Nom Noms. Thank you for listening. It's 9:55 a.m., Tuesday, January 25th, 2022. I'm on Cape Cod. My name is Maxwell Haddad. You're listening to Video Nasties. Thank you for listening. I don't know what I recorded last night, so I don't know what you've just heard. Variations, coyotes, that sort of thing. So last night I had some issues. I couldn't find anything to watch, as usual. I hate scrolling for an hour trying to find something to watch, so I usually just put something on. I put on the first, like, 2 seconds of The Candy Snatchers, which is available on YouTube, and I will watch that maybe tonight. I wasn't in the mood for it. I switched to Godzilla, or King Kong versus Godzilla, which was dope. That's what I ended up watching for a while, till I fell asleep, and then when I woke up, I watched The Legend of the Eight Samurai, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. It's my favorite Kenji Fukasaku movie. It's one of my favorite Japanese movies. It actually is my favorite Japanese movie right now, I would say. And
It's fucking dope, but the problem I'm having with YouTube is, yes, it's a free streaming service, but it's free with ads, like so many other shitty streaming services. So it's like you pay for YouTube Premium or you watch ads, which is the same thing with Tubi, same thing with whatever the fuck, Canopy, I don't know, whatever. Not Canopy, Peacock. Whatever the fuck it is. You're still watching it with ads. It's free with ads. So it's the same thing with YouTube, but the thing with YouTube is they have the best selection out of any streaming service. So I mean, I think Arrow has a good selection too. They have a bunch of cool shit and they don't have ads, which is why I pay for them. YouTube I'll continue using because they have the best selection. Even though they do have ads. So the ads were fucking with me. But I am gonna watch the Candy Snatchers on there. I am gonna watch the Swinging Cheerleaders. I noticed a theme developing with those two movies of these kind of like, I don't know, sort of like dirty 70s movies. I don't wanna say objectifying or degrading women, but it's more like, I don't know. The 70s male gaze, the 70s masculine vision. It's sort of like they're both girly movies, but they're about controlling femininity or something. And they're also kind of like two sides of a coin because Candy Snatchers is kind of like the horrific version, and the Swinging Cheerleaders is kind of like the comedic version, although I think there's some drama to it. I don't know. I have to watch the Swinging Cheerleaders and see if I did in fact watch it previously. And I have to watch the Candy Snatchers, which I've never seen, but is kind of like this infamous 70s movie, kind of like a 70s classic, 70s grindhouse classic. So it's a 70s classic if you're into grindhouse cinema. Peace. And by the way, the Swinging Cheerleaders, and I don't know how I discovered this, but it features both Roseanne Caton and Colleen Camp, my favorite. So that would be a nice tie-in with Ebony, Ivory, and Jade, which is an episode that I was really proud of that I really liked. And of course, it ended up getting less listens for whatever reason. Although recently it's been killing it. The episodes have been killing it, the listens have gone up. I think maybe my during the week theory is accurate. People actually listen to the podcast less over the weekend. So you listen to it during the week, they use it to help them get through the week, and then on the weekend they're chilling and they're not listening to my annoying voice. That's my theory. I don't know if that's true. Of course, my voice isn't annoying. That was just a joke. But I don't know. If that is the case, which it might be, I would be surprised because I would figure it would be the opposite. People want to chill out, party, listen to Video Nasties on the weekends, and then during the week they listen to the more serious podcasts. like BBC and NPR, that kind of shit. NPR is a radio station, but you get the point. So, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if it's not. I think maybe during the week in the morning is when I get my most listens. And hey, I'm not complaining about any of it. I'm just happy somebody's listening. Even if they weren't, I would still be recording like a crazy person, but I don't even care. So, I'm grateful that you are listening. Thank you. I hope you keep listening. The show is called Video Nasties. My name is Maxwell Haddad. A new episode is delivered hot, fresh, and ready every night at 8. Enjoy. I'll be back on to talk to you some more about the Swinging Cheerleaders, the Candy Snatchers, YouTube, King Kong, and various other subjects. I hope you join me. Peace. Okay, a couple of things I wanted to add to the episode. While my stepdad has gone on a walk, smoking a little lights out. It's 44 degrees Fahrenheit, 1:23 p.m. Saturday. August 12th. I'm just making shit up now. It's actually Tuesday, January 25th, 2022. I'm gonna read you an excerpt from, or excerpt, I guess you can say that, from the book I'm reading, Sill, which is Leave Society by Tal Lynn. I'm almost on page 300. I'm like a few pages away. Today's chapter was like a third of the length, or like a quarter of the length of the chapter I read yesterday. It was so much shorter. First chapter of Year of Unknown, it's called. That's the part of the book that I'm on now. I'm guessing I have about 50 to 75 pages left to go. And then it'll be on to the next one, on to the next book. I'm feeling something a little bit more uplifting, maybe, a little bit lighter. Something like 52 Pickup by Elmore Leonard. Or Storytime with Seth Rogen, which isn't actually the name of his book. For some reason, I can never remember the name of his book. Oh, Yearbook. That's why I can never remember it, because it reminds me of high school. Okay, so here is just a brief section from Leave Society by Tao Lin. I think it's about a paragraph long. It's from the end of the chapter I just read, which is called Doodoo. Yeah, it's called Doodoo. Doodoo, which is the name of Lee's parents' dog, who he's friends with. If you don't remember, or you haven't been listening to the podcast, Lee is the main character of Leave Society by Tao Lin. Okay. So here's the paragraph. No, it's more than a paragraph. It's sort of like three short paragraphs. This is from page 298 of Leave Society. Quote. Sorry, one second. Quote, after sleeping 6 hours, Lee listened to an interview with Patrick McEwen, who'd healed his asthma by changing his breathing style. McEwen said most people overbreathe, the opposite of what Lee had somehow believed, causing oxygen to bind to hemoglobin, leaving less for the organs. Aborigines, yogis, and samurai breathed slowly, through the nose, filtering, warming, and sterilizing their air, while modern people, rhinitic, allergic, air-conditioned, degenerate, increasingly mouth-breathed, inhaling too much air too quickly, Lee read in Breathe to Heal. He felt surprised, realizing he'd unwittingly sabotaged himself for decades, striving to breathe more after the lung collapses, after deciding against chest surgery, and after other times he'd felt motivated to be healthier. End of quote. Now, I'm going to read a quote from my notebook, something I just wrote in my notebook, and if you've been listening to this podcast, then you know that I talk about Quentin Tarantino a lot. You may even know or realize that Quentin Tarantino is part of what this podcast is about. So if you're sick of hearing about him, you probably shouldn't be listening to the podcast. He is my favorite director. He's someone who has deeply influenced me, and so I talk about him a lot. So it should come as no surprise that I'm about to talk about him again. So I heard him in an interview on a podcast a few years ago. He talked about how the independent film movement of the 1990s was sort of like the French New Wave of the 1960s, except many of its filmmakers weren't as talented as the New Wave filmmakers, and thusly they didn't have the careers that some of the New Wave filmmakers had. And he said some of us weren't as talented, something like that. Maybe that was in a different interview, or he talked about it in two different interviews, I don't remember. But this is what I wrote in my notebook. Tarantino was just the most talented of the Sundance kids, which is why he became the richest and most famous of them. It's also why he still has the career that he does. It's why he still has a career at all. So that's what I wrote, and I just thought of something else that I read one time. It was in, like, Down and Dirty Pictures or something like that. It was talking about the independent film movement of the 1990s in America. And it said that the movement itself lacked style, but then it said in parentheses, except for Tarantino.
It was something like that. And Roger Ebert actually described Reservoir Dogs as an exercise in style, and he said it as sort of a bad thing, like sort of like that was all it was, when really I think Reservoir Dogs is much more than that. But he's also partly right. I mean, it is partly an exercise in style, but what's wrong with that? You know what I mean? Why is that a bad thing? I don't think it's a bad thing. Definitely not in the case of Reservoir Dogs, or the case of, in the case of any of Tarantino's movies. You could argue that all of his movies are exercises in style to one degree or another, but they're also much more than that. They're also much deeper than that, and his style is also so deep. And I have said it on the podcast before, style is substance. People like Tarantino and Wes Anderson get criticized almost for having too much style, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Guillermo del Toro has said in interviews and on commentaries and such, he has said, style is substance, and I've quoted him on the podcast before as saying that. And it's true, I'll say it again, style is substance. For Tarantino and Wes Anderson, their style is their substance to a certain degree. You know, Tarantino's dialogue is so kind of dense and deep that that's really where the meat of it is for Tarantino. I think the problem with some of Wes Anderson is that it does end up being just style. So yes, I mean, even for me, like, that can be a problem. But I don't think there's anything wrong with being stylish. And I think movies should be stylish. They should be visually interesting. That shouldn't distract from the narrative. Or maybe it should, if that's what the filmmaker wants to do. It's up to the filmmaker. I do believe in the auteur theory. Even though it's a theory that's been attacked a lot recently for propagating the male gaze, I still support it. Peace.